Today I'm with Father Curtis Weidenfeld, pastor of St. Mary's Catholic Church and Temple. Father, it's my honor to welcome you to another edition of Hometown Heroes.
Well, it's my pleasure as well to have this opportunity to talk to you as well and to be on this program.
Well, let's get right to it. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, you know, where you grew up and went to school and all that stuff.
Sure. So, grew up many... lived in many places throughout my years of growing up. A large portion of my life was in Copperas Cove, Texas, and that's where my family calls home. I'm oldest of a small family of nine children, and we did many different approaches to education in my family, but a large portion of my education was homeschooled. So I have multitude of experiences. Like everyone else in Copperas Cove, my father was Army, and we moved around a lot growing up. So that was my growing up experience.
So when did the call to the priesthood start to resonate with you?
My default answer to that has always been second grade, somewhere in there. I'm an early vocation. There's no default setup for vocation calls. They come at different times and different places in people's lives. But mine just sort of manifested itself at an early age, kind of on a superficial level at that early age. Just kind of really liked the imagery and the example of good priests and so on. And then it matured into high school and so on. But it started early and was consistent throughout. So that's how that started in terms of my call to the priesthood.
And so when did you kind of make the decision, this is what I want to do with my life?
It sort of, for myself, it's kind of as I said, vocations are different from person to person. Mine kind of just developed homogeneously, just kind of a natural sort of desire to follow that path. I think it really became a decision in high school, and I think there was always levels of decision as I went forward. I think as I said, it just kind of came up naturally for myself, and so I don't really point to a particular definitive moment where I just kind of said yes. I think there were a series of yeses that happened throughout going through my vocation calling, the decision to actually get to go to seminary, the decision to, just a series of decisions of yeses and ordination and so on. So that's my vocation story, and that's how that developed.
Just responding to those small nudges that you got from the Holy Spirit is throughout life, I guess, huh?
Yeah, there was no definitive. There was highlights, but no definitive moment of sort of I'm going to do this. I was already sort of inclined from even early age to say, I think this is a really good place for me to go.
And where did you go to seminary at?
Well, that's a long story, too. But my last years of seminary study were in Houston, Texas. Went to St. Mary's in Houston, Texas. I went and explored religious life for several years, for 8 years. And then after I left the Legionaries of Christ, I went to the diocese and studied for another... the six more years. So I had a wide range of experiences at different institutions.
Question that I always love asking priests, and I recognize that it kind of puts them all on the spot a little bit, but what's your three favorite things about being a priest?
I would have to highlight, confession. Definitely find confession to be a real highlight of my ministry. I If I wasn't going to be a priest, I would be a teacher. And I think one of the things that I'd really like to do is teaching and instructions of people. So that's always a highlight when I have those opportunities. And, you know, that kind of mixes in with preaching and general instruction. And liturgy, I think, would be number three for me. I just find preparing and to really celebrating and to its full extent the liturgy is always a place that feeds me, that is a place that I'm renewed as a priest.
And so the next obvious question then is, what are your three least favorite things about being a priest?
Sure. Least favorite. Three challenges as a priest. You know, some of my brother priests always had trouble with weddings. There's always been this battle between priests who don't like weddings and priests who like funerals over weddings and weddings over funerals, and the drama that's mixed with that. And people are surprised maybe by the agony and the ecstasy of these events. But I tend to find weddings to be my most enjoyable celebrations and funerals to be sometimes trying. And it's not so much that it's a sad celebration, it's just that sometimes the nature of the responses from people is not, the drama around these events are sometimes taxing, but we're always there for what they need. Other things that might be a place of challenge for as a priest for myself. Sometimes the little dramas that happen on parish grounds and the little squabbles over this or that sometimes can be a burden and kind of a challenge at times.
Kind of dealing with human nature, in some regard.
I think sometimes, there was a certain naivete being from seminary, and part of me was like avoiding the drama of marriage a little bit in my own thinking, and not understand, and you can't be fully prepared for the human drama that is being a pastor and the emotional weight that people give to things that just take on an importance that is greater than the thing itself for people, and that's just human nature. So that can be a trying time. Challenges, fundraising, I put that as, sure. It's not, I think there's a special place in heaven for people who don't do fundraising. They're going to be up with the seraphim. And, it's just part of the work of being a priest.
I forgot to ask earlier, so I'll backtrack here a little bit. When did you arrive at St. Mary's? When were you posted here?
Oh, gosh. What are we, 2021 now?
Yes, sir.
I think it was the summer of 2019.
Okay.
I think that's what it was. I'm approaching 3 years now.
So recently, a lot of folks saw you on EWTN Nightly News with your response to the ice and winter storms here and opening up the parish facilities as a warming station. What was the impetus behind that?
So one of the realities here on campus when I arrived at St. Mary's is there wasn't really an active social ministry happening on campus. It had kind of been neglected. And I had always wanted to make it the forefront of our parish and bring it to life, really make it important for our parish to be an outreach for our community, especially in light of the fact that St. Mary's and Temple really exists in an inner city environment where there's just a lot of people in need, a lot of homelessness, a lot of low-income families and housing. And so that has become the emphasis of this year for me, for my parish, is bringing them to that awareness. But from the very beginning, just the desire to make that important. And looking at our facilities, I had always wanted to have an availability for the city to make use of our facilities in times of emergency. And like so many things that are just kind of procrastinated on, it had just been pushed and pushed back. I wanted to do this sort of thing. I wanted to do those certain things. And the stress of the moment just kind of brought it to an urgency. And, it was kind of a natural decision for me. We had buildings, we had electricity, we had utilities all functioning. It just made sense that we make use of these empty buildings to provide some assistance to those who were being challenged during that time.
Sure.
So in a way, it was sort of, when the call came, I kind of treated it as an opportunity. It was just kind of what I needed to do, what I wanted to do with our campus. And there was no time like the present to grab that situation and make it fruitful.
Right. And how many folks did you have in that week or so of where you were operating as a warming station?
Yeah, so I think we never exceeded maybe 25 people in the building, maybe even less than that. In total, we had our guess was about 50 people altogether on our facilities. When the police officer first came, there was great uncertainty, and there was numbers thrown out like we might need places for 300 people. And then there was a time during the whole thing where one of the nursing homes didn't have utilities and they needed to move them. So we were kind of bracing ourselves for 60 people to show up. Mm. So, but none of that came to be. Mm. But we did provide a safe place for up to 50 people.
Mm-hmm. Were those people predominantly non-parishioners, just folks that were here in the local area that were without utilities?
Yeah, the vast majority. One of the situations that arose is that most of the volunteers who helped at the station were actually people who didn't have utility themselves. Mm-hmm. So a lot of our parishioners that were able to come out came out partly because they didn't have any place for themselves to be at that moment. And so it became a warming station for them while they assisted others. And that was part of the story. But the vast majority of people showed up were basically brought by the police.
Okay.
That was kind of the standard operation where the police would come with people who were in a desperate situation.
So you really had folks from all over the city, mm-hmm. not just in the local neighborhood here.
Yes. In fact, I would say very few from the local neighborhood came to us, mostly because the local neighborhood had pretty good utilities at that time.
So you mentioned that this is kind of a focus for you for 2021. So what other social outreach, social programs are you trying to either bring more to a head or institute here within the parish?
So due to the nature of our parish, I've emphasized to the community that we want to be we wanted to bring awareness to the parishioners, the institutions that are in the local community that are already operating, that we're not going to create something new for ourselves, but to help bring parishioners to encounter those institutions in our local area that already have all the means, all the facilities, things they need to make these things happen. Mm-hmm. And so we've been mostly going out and we've started with helping out with a food bank, the local food bank, several of those institutions. We're trying to be more participatory with the pro-life activities that are in the area that are already in motion. whether in Austin or Waco or other. So that's kind of where we've placed our emphasis as a community. We're not seeking to create, you know, like another food bank or, right, you know, another whatever, whether initiatives there might be, but to bring the parishioners to encounter the work that's already happening around them.
To make those institutions that exist a little bit stronger.
Yes, and above all, to have the people, it's not so much about solving, it is part about solving, helping to help people, but it's also helping those who have to know Christ and those that have not. And just, getting the parishioners out of the parish and into these other places.
So we know that 2020 and the COVID has been pretty tough on everybody, not just here in Central Texas, but all over the country. And I'm interested to find out how you and the parish have mitigated some of those restrictions that have been placed on us, either by the government itself or by the diocese, in an attempt to prevent the spread of the virus itself.
Yeah, how have we approached it? I've tried to walk a middle path, constantly encourage the parishioners to see this spiritual fruit that is hidden behind this event, and the path to their own spiritual maturity through this different way of living their Christian life and different challenges that we're meeting, to know themselves better through that struggle. We have the various mask and social distancing that we've tried to implement in different ways. And I tried to avoid being a source of anxiety for the people. And I've always tried to tell them our greatest pandemic is the pandemic of fear, not the pandemic itself. The pandemic of anxiety, of just maybe even to the point of being germophobic, that we just take whatever precautions, the mask, we just take it in stride and we just move through these events without undue anxiety. The parishioners here have just been extraordinary in their witness of faith, and we kind of felt that in the midst of that pandemic, there's so many positive things though that kind of were brought forth from this event, these events. For example, because of the lockdown, we restored the continual adoration that we had before, and brought back continual adoration in some means here on our ground. So that was something we restored. So we've had adoration going. We online giving became stronger. So that was and our parishioners have been very generous during this time. Our parish has not suffered a great deficit because of these events. And we were able to refine, our use of social media, our media in general, and now work on refining our website. So there has been a lot of positive out of these things, and I've just been overwhelmed by the faith of this community that just has not been really fazed by these things.
It's very impressive. The Adoration Chapel in and of itself is remarkable. Changing gears here a little bit, so last year we talked earlier about Trinity walking in as your proxy, as it were, at the Texas Alliance for Life, Walk for Life, down in Harker Heights. And if I remember correctly, raised several hundred dollars. So we're looking forward to the walk coming again in June 19th, again down in Harker Heights at the community park. And so really interested to see if you're what your plans are, or if Trinity's going to walk for you again, or maybe the two of you walk.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought that far ahead. I'm not even sure. I can't even remember what it was that kept me from going last year. I think some activity got in the way. Trinity, for those who don't know, Trinity is the name of my dog. She's black and white, just like me. And she loves hanging out with people and playing a lot. She's a real big puppy. Someone said she raised like $800 and gave everyone a run for their money. I'm not sure if I'll be participating this year. I'm not even sure. Do you remember what the date was?
Yeah, it's June 19th. So you can put it. It's the Saturday before Father's Day. So you can put it in your calendar now. And last year, Holy Family in Copper's Cove was the top parish in the Diocese of Austin fundraising. So I'm issuing an official challenge to you and the faithful here at St. Mary's to come and try and take our crown from us.
Well, we will try to raise the bar. Yeah, that's why I can't remember it on my top of my head, because I still have Easter and Pentecost to get through before I get to that point. But
a couple of more, way more important liturgical events.
Yes, a few things between us and that event, but I think I just got an email the other day about my social ministry team already thinking about it. So I'm sure that they'll be wanting Trinity back, and we'll see what we can do during that time.
The challenge has been levied, so I'll leave it to your parish to whether or not they want to accept that challenge. So what's a little tidbit about Father Curtis that maybe people don't really know that too much about, besides your family, of course?
Oh, no. Let's see. I probably spend too much time on playing on my Xbox. And
yeah, so what's your favorite game then?
I have a few, but my brothers and I, we like to occasionally spend some time online playing a game called World of Warships, and we get into that as a time to get together online, and it's been really neat to do that. So,
and your brothers are spread across the country, is that right?
Yes, they're in different places. Yeah. So,
well, it's a good way to kind of connect, and a little camaraderie amongst the family. Though I'm not a big gamer, Xbox. That I don't really understand all that. So, what little message would you like to leave with the flock or the people here, the Catholics here in Central Texas that are listening to this interview?
Hearing that question, the words of John Paul II just kind of come to mind, and I remember him, he's a great influence in my life, and I can still hear his words, "Do not be afraid." And I think that the world is filled with a lot of fear at this moment. And I think the words of John Paul II are ever more pressing and ever more inspiring, as he kept reassuring the world during that time of Cold War threats and uncertainty to not be afraid. And we walked through all those dark valleys, and the current dark valleys are similar, if not maybe even less in some ways. So that would be my words: do not be afraid.
Those are great words. So how would we, how could somebody find out more about St. Mary's, when Mass times are, etc.?
Well, the website obviously is a great place to get a hold of that information. Some people trying to find us for the first time have trouble finding us, because we're kind of deep in inner city temple, but we have a wonderful school, St. Mary's Catholic School, so we would love to have more kids come to that, attend our school. That's one of the things I really want to amplify. And our Mass times are 5:30 on Saturday, 7:30, 9:30, and 11:30 on Sunday. So those are morning, our Mass times on Sunday.
And your website again?
I always Google it. I just say St. Mary's Catholic Church and get it. So I'm not actually sure what the title of the website is and off the top of my head. But just Google okay. St. Mary's Catholic Church in Temple, Texas.
All right. Well, Father, thank you very much. I wondered if you would leave us with a final blessing.
Very good. May Almighty God bless all listeners who attend to this broadcast in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, thank you very much, Father, and God bless you, and good luck in the future.
Thank you.